Welcome to the conference. Please note today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Measure Developer webinar. Today we're going to give you an update on where we are with our ICD-10 coding conversion process, and we're also going to give you an update on our endorsement maintenance scheduling. So regarding ICD-10, the transition, we just wanted to remind everyone what NQF's role is in this process. So our first responsibility is to ensure that all NQF endorsed measures have a set of ICD-10 CM/PCS codes on or before October 1st of 2014. Our two main avenues of soliciting these codes are our annual update process and our endorsement maintenance reviews. The second thing we're responsible for is providing our measure developers with recommendations and best practices on how they can actually execute these transitions. Back in 2009, NQF convened an expert panel, and they did some work with some of our staff around this ICD-10 process, and they produced a guidance document, and we posted that on our website. The last thing we are responsible for is connecting our developers to the transition resources that are available to them on an as-needed basis. AHIMA is a good example of such a resource. So with this transition, we do anticipate that there will be some challenges and there are some given implications based on the changes. The first and the most obvious to us is that there is a lack of testing databases with dual-coded data. So we do recognize that there's an inability at this time to actually test an ICD-10 coded measure. We also anticipate interruptions in the trending of the measure's results. We do recognize that with the increased specificity of the ICD-10 codes that some of the measure intents may change. Also, there are multiple tools available for actually doing the transition, so we do not expect for our developers to all take a uniform approach as to how they transition to ICD-10. And lastly, we also recognize that developer funding regarding the coding transition may vary, so some developers may be ahead of others as far as getting on the ball with getting their measures actually transferred over. So just to give everyone a reminder on the deadline update, initially the date was October 1 of 2013, but last year we learned that the HHS implementation deadline was changed to October 1 of 2014. And here we just provided a link to the HHS website where they offer greater detail on why the extension was pushed out another year. We've been communicating this to our developers via our webinars, and we also have this information on our measure maintenance page on the website. So to offer a bit more perspective, we have some dates. As of April 1 of 2013, NQF will be requiring ICD-9 and ICD-10 codes for all new submissions, all measures undergoing maintenance, and all measures, not all measures, and measures including annual update for which the developers have the codes readily available. As I mentioned before, as of October 1, 2014, ICD-10 codes will be required for all HIPAA transactions. And as of December 31st of 2014, NQF will no longer be accepting ICD-9 codes for our measures. So as I mentioned earlier, we did convene an expert panel back in 2009, and they drafted a guidance report. In that report, they offered a list of best practices to developers on things that they should consider while doing their transitions. So the first would be to convene a clinical and coding expert. This team should be used to identify specific areas where questions of clinical comparability exist, to evaluate the consistency of the clinical concepts, and also to ensure the appropriateness of conversion. It's also important for developers to determine the intent of their measures. The most ideal way to convert your code sets would be to examine the original intent of the measure as opposed to relying solely on mapping. It's also important to use an appropriate conversion tool. Assessing for material change is also a good practice. For existing measures undergoing the coding updates and maintenance, the extent to which the population identified with the new code set overlaps with the old code set should be assessed. And just to continue with the best practices, we recommend soliciting stakeholder comments. Converging the new codes requires the involvement of stakeholders, and measures developers should solicit the comments for additions and deletions with the specificity to the new codes. Lastly, it's important to version the updated measures. With the coding transitions, there will be different versions of the measures, and they'll be used longitudinally for various purposes, but they may not be exactly comparable. So this is what we are requiring from our developers. The first is a statement of intent. The second are the actual codes themselves. And lastly is a summary of the process by which the developers actually transitioned their measures. So with this statement of intent, you can indicate to NQF that you've converted this measure to an entirely new code set, that you've taken advantage of a more specific code set, or that the intent of your measure has changed. We want to capture your statement of intent in our respective maintenance forms. So for any new submission or for any maintenance measure, you can add your statement of intent to the validity section in the analytic method field of the form. And for annual updates, you can add your statement of intent in the release notes field. The second thing are the actual codes. So for any new measure or any measure undergoing maintenance, you can include your ICD-10 codes in the numerator details, the denominator details, and order exclusion details sections of the form as appropriate. And we do recognize that sometimes these code lists can be pretty extensive. So if you have to attach them in an Excel form, you can attach that Excel form to the data dictionary or code table field. For measures undergoing annual updates, you can add them directly into the form to the same specified fields, but if you have to send an attachment, you can email it directly to the measure maintenance inbox. And this is just a screenshot from the maintenance form to let you know that you do have the capability to attach any code list that you may have to send in an Excel file form. Lastly, we want a summary of the process by which you use to transition your measures. You can enter the direct process information into the validity section of the field in the analytic method section. If you have testing data available, you can also enter that into the validity section of the field in the testing results section. And again, if you have any attachments to send along with your submission forms, you can add that to the supplemental testing methodology information field of the form. As I mentioned before, with annual updates, at this time, the form does not have the capacity to allow for attachments. However, we recognize that that is a shortcoming on our end, and we are working to get the form updated to allow for attachments. So for now, regarding your process, you can send an attachment including the names and credentials of any experts you may have used to help you in your conversion process, a summary of any stakeholder comments you may have solicited, and any testing results that you may have. And this is just related to the report that I mentioned earlier, the operational guidance document, as it is on our website. So I have my colleague, Ashley Wilbon, who was the NQF staff member who actually worked with the expert panel that we convened back in 2009. And at this point, we will open up the lines for any questions.
At this time, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Laura Fattori of American College.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you. That was a lot of information pretty quickly presented to us. I was wondering if you could clarify, does this apply to all measures, including measures that have been endorsed and submitted using other data sources beyond administrative claims data? For instance, we've submitted a number of registries from the American College of Cardiology that leverage our clinical data registries.
No. It only applies to measures that have used administrative claims as their data source.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Maureen Daly with American Nurses.
Actually, this is Daryl Roberts. I'm with Maureen, but the previous answer you just gave answers my question, so thank you.
All right.
Your next question comes from Suzanne Pope with American Urological.
Hi. Could you go back to the slide with the due dates on it? When is it? When we're required to do this?
Okay. This slide?
Yes. Thank you so much.
If you're trying to capture the dates, we're going to send this slide deck out after the webinar.
Okay,
so you guys can have for a reference.
Again, to ask a question, press star, then number one on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, and if anyone thinks of any questions, feel free to ask them at the end. So as a lot of you all may know, Heidi Bosley is no longer with us here at NQF, and in the transition process, some of her maintenance responsibilities have been shifted to my colleague, Elisa Muntali. And at this time, she's going to give you guys an update on where we are as far as our endorsement maintenance scheduling is concerned. Elisa?
Thank you, Ash. Thank you, Ashley. Hello, everyone. My name is Elisa Muntali, as Ashley mentioned. I just wanted to go over a brief update on our schedule for endorsement maintenance. I know that many of you have reached out to Ashley in the last several weeks to find out when endorsement maintenance projects will be starting. And we just wanted to first thank you for your patience as we confirm our timelines. And we wanted to also make sure that you knew that it was important for us to make sure that you had enough time to update your maintenance forms. So what we've done very recently is to revise our 2013 endorsement maintenance schedule to reflect our recent delays in project start times. And so projects that were initially slated to start in quarter one were shifted to quarter two. During this interim time, in order for us to give you enough time to update your forms as we wait for projects to start, we will open up these measure submission forms. And Ashley will send out an email when this will be done. I think we have it initially slated to open up. Ashley, is it next Monday?
Yes.
Okay. And that is March 25th?
Yes.
Okay. Great. And so once we confirm our timelines, we will notify everyone of when projects will start, and they will proceed through the current CDP as currently designed. And so that's all I had in terms of an update. I don't know, Ashley, if you have the last slide with the revised schedule so folks can take a look at that.
Yeah, I've added that in. So on this slide, we do have the revised schedule. As Elisa mentioned, by default, the projects have all shifted by a quarter. So for now, for Q2, we anticipate that we'll have our head, ears, eyes, nose, and throat, also known as HINT project, in phase three of care coordination in quarter two. In quarter three, we'll have our patient experience and engagement project, our health and functional status project, and our endocrine project. And in quarter four, we'll have phase three of behavioral health, musculoskeletal, cardiovascular, and surgery. And so we'll open the lines again at this point for any questions that anyone may have regarding this maintenance update.
At this time, in order to ask a question, press star, then any number one on your telephone keypad. Press star, then any number one on your telephone keypad. Please hold for the first question.
Hello.
Please hold for the first question. Your next question comes from Ann Watt with the Joint Commission.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Ann.
Do we anticipate that all of these are going to be in-person steering committee meetings?
At this point, yes. That is the thought, that these measures will be evaluated via in-person meetings by steering committees. Yes.
Great. Thanks, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Mark Antman.
Ashley, this is Mark at the AMA PCPI.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark. Mark?
Mark, your line is open.
Hi, this is Mark. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I was must have been still on mute. I apologize if this was already asked. I may have missed this, but on the slide, you indicate each quarter by the calendar dates that correspond to the quarter. But does that mean, can we assume that for quarter two, or rather for the projects that have now been pushed to quarter two, that June 30th is the submission deadline for each of those projects, and that September 30th?
The quarter designations correspond to when we anticipate the projects will start. Once we finalize our timelines, each project will have their own specific call for measures, submission, and end deadline date. But these quarter designations are just to try to give you guys an idea of when during the year we anticipate these projects will start. So, for example, any project assigned to quarter three will have a call for measures that starts somewhere in between July 1 and September 30th. We just have to finalize our timelines before we can share that specifically with you.
So for quarter three, then, Ashley, the deadline may, in fact, be beyond September 30th.
That is correct. So say a project's call for measures doesn't begin until September 30th of quarter three, then obviously we have to give you guys the 30 days, so it won't end until October. These quarter designations are just to give you guys an idea of when we project that the call for measures will start.
May I ask, though, Ashley, generally I know NQF has tried to give as much lead time as possible once a project is launched. A moment
Correct.
Ago you said so that you have at least 30 days. But will it be possible to give developers a longer period of time once the launch happens of maybe 60 days or more?
Right, and Elisa spoke of that earlier. So the 30 days that I was referring to was the 30 standardized days that we implement based on our CDP process for a call for measures. We are going to open the forms in advance of that to give the developers time to work on their measures that they have due for maintenance. And as she mentioned, for the projects that we have slated to begin in Q2, those maintenance forms will be open by next Monday. So we will try to give you guys as much leeway as possible with getting the forms available ahead of time. Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yes, it did. Thanks very much.
Okay. All right.
Your next question comes from Laura Fottery with the American College of Cardiology.
Hi again. So thanks for this update on the schedule for measures that would be going through maintenance on these various projects.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, because the agenda topic said update on the two-stage process, if there was any update on how the process will play out, the two-stage process will play out if developers are considering submitting new measures.
And I apologize for that. That was a misprint on our end. So that actually isn't anything that we were going to be covering on. Initially, we were going to discuss our two-stage process on this agenda, but we have an entirely whole webinar in April dedicated to that. We didn't get that off of the paper agenda that we shared with you guys. But as noted in the agenda that we have on the slides today, we were discussing ICD-10 and the endorsement maintenance updates. So I apologize for that mishap.
Okay. So April will be focused on that?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Bob Bram with NCQA.
Hi. In the odd chance that the NHLBI does not release the cardiovascular recommendations and guidelines by quarter four. Will you still be holding the cardiovascular CDP project?
I think that's something that we'll take into account at that time. I'll say for now we would, but given the implications of that, that is definitely something that we'll consider as it gets closer to the start time for that project. Does that answer your question, Bob?
Yep.
Okay.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, well, if we don't have any more questions at this time, I want to thank everyone for their time. And as I mentioned earlier, we will share these slides with you guys. And if you have any questions, as always, you can email the Measure Maintenance inbox. So thanks, everyone, and have a good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.